If you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word? A scripture lesson that many of us learn by heart as children. A scripture lesson that is often read at funerals and memorial services, but it ought to be read all the time. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rods and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. I want to remind you that there is a misprint in the bulletin. The Hang in the Green service does not start at 7, it starts at 6. Thank you all for helping me to correct that. I had a job in ministry at one time which required me to travel a lot, and I had preached, I think, in over 500 different churches during that job. I was on the road about 260 days out of the year, and in many ways it was a trying job. But God blessed me in it, and I got to see some things and do some things that I would have never done before. At the first meeting of that organization was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and although I was well into my 30s, I had never been across the Mason-Dixon line. And I shared that with a group of people, and they all were Yankees. I don't mean to be offensive to Yankees, but they all were Yankees. And I told them I'd never crossed the Mason-Dixon line before that week. And they said, well, why was that? I said, well, I never saw any particular good reason to do it. You laughed, but they didn't. But anyway, they're wonderful people all across America. But on one of my trips I will never forget, I was out in Idaho, in western Idaho, preaching at this church, and it was the Rockies were fairly near, but it was that great level plain at the foot of the Rockies where they raised potatoes. And the potato crop had already been brought in, and I had a Saturday free in at the church where I was, and the minister said, why don't you take one of our automobiles and drive up into the Rockies, to this part of the Rockies? And I said, all right, and I got in their car, and it follows the road up to the mountains, follows the Snake River. You can't see the river, though. It's deep canyons on both sides, far below you. But I'll never forget as I turned up into the mountains, as I said, it was autumn. And the quaking aspen trees, you may have seen those great leaves that on those trees they have in the Rockies. I know Bobby has. They turn a beautiful gold in the fall, and without a breeze, they move. That was an inspiring event, but as I got higher up into the mountains, I had to stop the car. Coming down the mountain was a great herd of sheep. The shepherd had them up there in the high country, grazing them through the summer on the lush grasses of the mountain. and was bringing them down the mountain with his. He was walking beside his little wagon, and he had his staff in his hand, and the sheep followed him as they crossed the road, going, I assume, down to their ranch for the winter. And that day I could not help but call to mind, as I saw that marvelous scene, the 23rd Psalm. I learned that psalm as a little boy in the public schools. That was back in those terrible dark ages when we still read the Bible in school and still had prayer and didn't shoot each other in the hallways and didn't riot in the streets. Those terrible days, you know. The 23rd Psalm is a great psalm to read at any time. But during the Thanksgiving season, it is a great time because it leads our heart to praise and be thankful. The Lord is good to you, people. He's good to you in so many ways, and I think at Thanksgiving time, we normally think about our material blessings, and for most of us, they are many. We think not, but they are many. Elizabeth and I were watching this morning on television Dr. Youssef's program and his son, who directs their mission to the Middle East, was presenting a program about what has happened over there since ISIS came in, and ISIS has been driven out, and people living in rock ruins. And the Christians have gone into these Muslim areas, and they're witnessing Christ. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there have been more Muslims converted to Christ in the past 10 years than in all the history of the world prior to that? Did you know that? And these faithful lay people, at the risk of their own life, have been talking to the Muslims, and many of them are coming to Christ. And we saw a picture this morning of a hundred and some odd women who had formerly been Muslims who were saved and were in the church. Now, it's very dangerous if you convert. Your family will try to kill you. But they were in the church, and they were singing and praising. And Elizabeth, isn't it true that joy was just radiating? They were singing, and the singing wasn't enough. They got up and they danced, praising Jesus Christ who saved them. You see, they had entered into an understanding of God. An understanding of God that is so different from the dark understanding of the cold-hearted Allah. That sees things happen to people and it just happened. But no, they came to know the true and living God, who is always with His people. King David, who wrote this psalm, was a man after God's own heart. It meant that what that means is that David really wanted to live at the place where God was the center of his life. Oh, he failed. He failed miserably, as we all fail. He even had one of his most faithful friends killed that he could take his wife for himself. Do you know something? Those who God saves, He never lets go. Did you know that? And even when David committed this heinous sin, God did not let him go. God sent Nathan, the great prophet, and we all know that Nathan told him the story about a man that had just one little lamb and how that lamb was taken from him and the man was killed. And David was furious, and David stood up and says, "Who is this man that did this terrible thing? I'll have him killed." And Nathan said, "You're the man." We need preachers like that today, don't we? You're the man. David, however, rather than being angry, was cut to the heart. But you see, in that bringing him to the place of repentance, God was gracious, as painful as it was. David loved the Lord. I believe the 23rd Psalm, and I always will believe it. I might get my mind changed when I get to heaven. I suspect there'll be a lot of things that I thought I knew that I didn't know. But I really have always believed this psalm was written at the close of his life. After he'd been through the triumphs of victory, after he'd been through the sorrow of knowing himself to be a terrible sinner, after he'd been through the trials of his own son revolting against his government, and then much to his sorrow, that son was killed in battle. You can read the Bible and read his life. It was a life of joy and sorrow, just as our lives are. I never will forget visiting an old lady in my church in Hickory. She said, "Preacher, getting old is hell." And I might not have expressed it that way, but that's the way she expressed it. But as we age, we have to deal with things that squeak, that never squeaked before, and things that quit working that used to work just fine, and all of those things. Now, Mike Jones, some of you young people have not yet discovered that, but it's coming. Why did you all laugh when I said young? But that is the reality of life. And David lived through the hardness. He lived through the trials. He lived through the trouble. Some of you are going through hard trials and troubles now. And your family's here. Heart breaks for you. And we want to serve you and support you. But that's just reality. David knew those realities. But above all, he knew the greater reality. We've lost touch with the agrarian life, the farming life that is the background of the Bible, and we don't have much appreciation or understanding for shepherds or any of that stuff. But let me tell you, when David draws upon the Lord as the great shepherd, he's drawing upon an image he saw every day. He's drawing upon an image he himself lived. The shepherd out there caring for the sheep. David killed a lion and a bear that were attacking his sheep. He knew the dangers to the sheep. He knew the danger to his own life. He knew that the shepherd was the one that protected and cared for the sheep. You know, in old days, you have invariably at times a lamb that is a brat, a lamb that just will not follow the shepherd and always going off. That's when you get in danger. And in Bible times, the shepherd, as much as it would hurt him, I think, if he loved the animals, would break the front leg of that lamb and then gently reset it and wrap it. And he carried that lamb on his shoulders wherever the flock went. And when they would come to the green pastures, he would set the lamb down that it could eat. And when he would come to get water, he would put that little lamb at a place where the water was still. In other words, not rushing, no danger of dragging that little lamb off and drowning it, and let it drink. And he cared for that little lamb. And when that little lamb would get well, when its legs was healed, it was impossible to separate that lamb from the shepherd. Friends, I want to tell you this morning that if you have a living faith relationship with Jesus Christ, No matter what be the trials and tribulations you go through in this world, and Jesus promised us we would. I've been through them. I've got more to come. Did you know that? But wherever we are, remember, you have a great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what David, by the power of God, was looking forward to. He's doing messianic preaching, preaching about the Savior that's coming, the real shepherd, when he writes this. The real shepherd is not a person like what we are. The real shepherd is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this morning to rest in confidence in God's word, that your good shepherd has you in his care. I'll never forget when I was a pastor up in Ohio, for some reason, I think it was because I was one of the preachers nearest the hospital, but I would get called by people to come in and see people that I didn't know. Had some humorous incidences that were both tragic and humorous there at times. One time I went into the psych ward, and this lady said, "Can you go talk to this person? The nurse said, we've rang for the house psychiatrist four times, and he's never come." And then so I go over, and the guy's looking at the paper, and he's pointing this little smiley face B, and he's crying. I don't think he can read or write. And I said, "What's the matter?" He says, "They're here." I said, "What's here?" He said, "The killer bees." I said, no. They can't live in this cold climate. And then he pointed to a radio, a transistor radio, and said, you young people don't know what they are, but he pointed to a transistor radio, a little pocket radio, and started crying, and he said, "That's a bomb. It's going to blow me up." I said, "No, that's a radio. That plays music. It's not going to hurt you." And then he pointed to a truck. How you thought a truck get third floor? I don't know. He says, "That's going to run over me." I said, "No, it's impossible. I can't get up on the elevator." So he finally calmed down a little bit, and the nurse says, "What do you think we should do?" I said, "I think you'll take that newspaper away from him." But anyway, I was called many times, and I'll never forget one time I was called to visit a fellow who was of a lot of money. And he had cancer, and I talked to him, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord. He said, "Oh, I don't need the Lord. I'm going to be fine. I got the best doctor that money can hire in Northeast Ohio. I'm going to be fine. Don't talk to me about this God stuff." And I said, "Well, are you sure?" He says, "I don't need God. I'm fine." And a few weeks later, he was dead of cancer. So sad, isn't it? He went into all eternity, first not knowing, going in, the comforting hand of God that is with the saints when they die. I know he's with the saints when they die. I've been with so many saints when they died and saw that comforting hand and that glow of peace in their face. Have any of you all seen that? If you have, raise your hand. Come on, if you've seen it. And furthermore, he went out to all eternity lost. But oh, you people who have heard the gospel, you people who have believed, you people who love the Lord and want him to have the whole of your life, not just part of it, oh, you are so blessed. Because you are not just any old goat. You are the sheep of the Lord's flock. You are the ones who he told himself in the Gospels. In this world, you're going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. But don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. And you see, when David closes that psalm in the powerful ways, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is your ultimate place. Not death and hell. Your ultimate place is with the Lord. Your ultimate place is to sit down at His table and be anointed by Him, to be blessed by Him for all eternity. You are under the shepherd's hand. You are there protected by His rod and staff. You are there to be cared for in this world, but above all, to be cared for in the world to come. These high rollers over at the country club this morning that think that they've got it all ain't got nothing. But oh, my people, you who are gathered in this house, who love the Lord, who are the sheep of His pasture, you have it all. Praise the name of Jesus, who saves us and makes us His own. Amen.